This is a series of lectures and kirtans by His Holiness Sri Radhanath Swami, recorded during Vrindavan Dham Yatra with the devotees of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Bombay, in the month of Kartik, from 1st November 1994 to 9th November 1994. He begins with a talk at Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan Temple, Vrindavan, on 1st November 1994.
Dana 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 hey.
Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan
Radha Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radha.
श्री राधा गोपीनाथ जी की
जय,
श्री गोपाल जी की
जय,
गौर प्रभानंद
हरि बोल।
दिस बिगिनिंग इज ऑस्पिशियस यात्रा श्री वृंदावन धाम। The supreme of all holy places, Vrindavan Dham, is the highest, most intimate and auspicious abode in the spiritual sky. Beyond this earthly planet, within this material world, are the heavenly worlds, the highest of which is Brahma Loka. But within this whole material creation, birth and death plague everyone with endless sufferings. But beyond this material existence is the Viraja, the borderline between spiritual and material world. And when we transcend or go beyond Viraja, we enter into the spiritual sky, or the Brahma Jyoti, which is the supreme goal for the impersonalist, to merge into the formless existence of the Supreme. But we know from Brahma Samhita and the other great literatures that the Brahma Jyoti is but the divine effulgence that is emanating from the spiritual form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Within those Brahma Jyoti planets, within the spiritual sky, there is Mahesh Dham, the Vaikuntha planet in which Lord Shiva abodes, resides. Above Mahesh Dham is the Vaikuntha planets in which the various forms of Lord Narayan preside, all of the great incarnations of Lord Vishnu that appear in this world, such as Matsyavatar, Varahavatar, Nrisingha Avatar, Kurma Avatar. They all have their particular spiritual planets where they eternally exchange love with those who have developed pure devotion for them. Above the Vaikuntha planets of Lord Narayan is the spiritual abode called Ayodhya Dham, where Lord Sri Ramchandra appears eternally with his intimate devotees. And above that is the planet of Goloka. Goloka is the highest, the purest of all the planets in the spiritual sky. Within Goloka, there are various divisions. There is Dwarka, there is Mathura, there is also a Vaikuntha Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are worshipped in Aishwarya Bhav. But the sweetest and most beautiful of all the sectors of Goloka is Brajbhumi, Vrindavan Dham. And that same Vrindavan Dham where Sri Sri Radha Krishna in their original transcendental forms engage in their pure loving relationships with their devotees. In the especially Sakyaras, loving relationships as friends, and Vatsalyaras, where the devotees love Krishna as their innocent and helpless child, and Madhuryaras, conjugal love, where the devotees of Vrindavan simply see Krishna as their most intimate and beautiful lover. In all of the abodes other than Vrindavan, Aishwarya, or the majesty of God, is prominent. Although in Vrindavan, all of the Aishwarya, or majesty of God, is in its fullest degree, even beyond those of the Vaikunthas, they are all covered by Madhurya. They are covered by such a sweetness of affection that the devotees simply are covered over by that sweetness of devotion from recognizing that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. His friends are wrestling with him and playing, frolicking through the pasture grounds with the calves and the cows. And Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and the elderly gopis, they simply always concerned with protecting him and feeding him and nourishing him and pleasing him in every way. And the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, are eternally surrendered to pleasing him in the most divine, spiritual, amorous ways of loving service. So this is Vrindavan. And when Sri Sri Radha Krishna appear in the one form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan adjusts itself to become Sri Navadvip Dham. Navadvip Dham is also a planet in Goloka Vrindavan, which is non-different than Vrindavan itself. So Goloka Vrindavan is the place which is presided over by Srimati Radharani, because she is the pleasure potency of the Lord, the Hladini Shakti, in whose infinite love, or Mahabhav, eternally keeps Krishna, the Rasaraj, the supreme enjoyer of all ras, subordinate to herself. Therefore, Srimati Radharani is called upon by the name of Vrindavaneshwari. She is the queen and the presiding deity of Vrindavan Dham. When Krishna decides to descend into the material world, he brings his associates and abode along with him. In the absolute realm, the Lord, who is perfect and complete, Om Purnam Adapurnam Idam, can expand himself and at the same time remain perfect and complete within the original abode as well as all of the expansions. This is the inconceivable nature which Lord Chaitanya described as Achintya Abheda Bheda Tattva, inconceivably simultaneously one and different. So in this material world, Krishna descends with Srimati Radharani, with the holy land of Vrindavan, Govardhan, Jamuna, many of their Nitya Siddha associates, the gopas, the gopis. And the spiritual world of Vrindavan, Brahma Samhita explains, when it descends to this world, it is called Gokula. And there is absolutely no difference between Goloka and Gokula. They are the self-same abodes. and they are eternal abodes. So Krishna appeared here in Vrindavan approximately 5,000 years ago. But we should know that this holy land, this place, is the eternal abode of the Lord on earth. And Nitya Lila, the pastimes of the Lord are going on always. They never end if one has the spiritual vision to perceive it. Do not try to see Vrindavan with your eyes. If you try to see Vrindavan with your eyes, you will only see the external covering layer of Vrindavan. The real Vrindavan will be obscured from your vision. Because as we see, there are places that appear like desert. There is sewage, there is hogs, there is people shouting, sometimes even cheating each other, sometimes even killing each other. Is this Vrindavan? This is the superficial external covering. And those who have material vision will see this. But the great acharyas, they have taught us that we must learn to see Vrindavan Dham with our hearts. Through faith, through the words of the great acharyas, we must know that here all of the leelas of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are eternally taking place. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaivardesho
vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami.
When our eyes are anointed with the salve of love and devotion, we can perceive Vrindavan as it is. Narottam Das Thakur, who lived here for many, many years, he wrote the beautiful song, Vishaya Chadiya Kabe Shudaha Vimana Kabe Hamahirva Sri Vrindavan. When my heart is freed from all desires for material enjoyment, only then will I see Vrindavan Dham. Because Vrindavan Dham, which is none different than Krishna himself, is revealed according to our love, our devotion, according to our detachment from material selfish desires, according to our surrender to pleasing him and loving him. So as we are having this wonderful opportunity of Braj Parikram, we should always remember that we are in the holy abode of the Lord. Chintamani prakarshatma shukalpa vriksha lashardeshu surabira vipalayantam lakshmi shahastra shatasamrama sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. But why we cannot see this beautiful abode, which is decorated with the Jamuna, whose waters are crystal clear, like ambrosial nectar, who every tree is a kalpa vriksha tree, with diamonds and rubies and emeralds, the most precious stones decorating them, whose every tree can fulfill all of our desires, whose every grain of dust on the ground is more valuable than the most precious of all jewels. Krishna reveals, according to our desire to serve him, this beautiful abode of Sri Vrindavan. So our consciousness throughout this yatra should be a prayer. Behind everything we do and everything we say, we should be praying, O Srimati Radharani, O Lord Sri Krishna, under the direction of Guru and the Vaishnavas. Please, let me serve you with such a selfless heart. Let me chant your holy names with such devotion, so that you will be pleased to reveal the supreme excellence of Vrajbhumi to my heart. It is such a rare fortune. Vrindavan Dham is so powerful that it is said that any spiritual activity you perform here will have 100 times the potency to uplift you than performing that same activity anywhere else. But at the same time, any offense you commit here will be held against you 100 times more than anywhere else. So while we are here, we should be very careful. The rules of this yatra that we should all try to follow are one, and please listen very attentively, that we should not do anything or speak anything that is not directly related to inspiring the other Vaishnavas and uplifting our own hearts with Krishna consciousness. We should only speak the holy name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, things directly related to serving the Vaishnavas in a positive way, or very friendly, loving Vaishnava exchanges. But there should be no gossip. There should be no speaking false of anyone. There should be no speaking of anything mundane. Because we are here for 10 days, and we want every moment of these 10 days to have maximum value in enriching our consciousness. It is such a wonderful opportunity. Also, as a service to the Vaishnavas, we should know that serving the Vaishnavas is the ways and the means of pleasing Srimati Radharani. There is nothing which will endear us to her heart more than pleasing her devotees. So we should please the devotees by making this yatra something wonderful. During the kirtans, we should very enthusiastically, very joyfully be chanting the holy names with great sincerity and attention, and we should dance as Srila Prabhupada has taught us to dance, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught, with great feeling and devotion, and mostly with great enthusiasm. And we should also be very timely. We should not make other devotees wait for us, because to the degree we make devotees wait, to that degree everyone will have the facility to visit less places in Vrindavan Dham. So as we are walking from place to place, we should stay very tightly together. And when we sit down to speak, devotees should come very quickly to sit and to hear. There should be no delay. And also, we should take prasad, except the children, only at the times with one another. In fact, unless specified, we should do everything together. No one should be wandering off here or there, unless authorized properly. When we take prasad, we should all sit and start together and end together as a courtesy to all and respect to all the other devotees. As far as possible, we should not wear shoes unless it is very much necessary. And I'd like to very briefly explain what our schedule will be for the next 10 days. Is the sun too much for everyone?
No.
No? When we come to a holy place, we should be very much willing and anxious to perform some austerity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always aspiring to come to Vrindavan. After he took sannyas, after he got initiated by Ishwara Puri, he immediately started running to Vrindavan. He escaped from all of his friends. And then a celestial voice spoke to him and told him that in this avatar, you are to spread the holy name of Krishna all over the world as the Yuga Dharma. So you should not come to Vrindavan now, you should go later. Now go to Navadvip and begin the Sankirtan movement. So he surrendered. And after he took sannyas, he immediately began to run to Vrindavan. But it was Nityananda Prabhu who knew that his mission to please his devotees and to further propagate the congregational chanting of the holy name was his purpose of coming to this world. So Nityananda Prabhu tricked him to go to Shantipur instead of Vrindavan. But then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to Vrindavan, finally, after years and years of longing, his ecstasy was increasing thousands of times. And when he came to this holy land of Vrindavan, the 12 forests, it is explained that the ecstasy of his love increased unlimitedly. And all of the great acharyas, they made their abodes one time or another in Vrindavan. Practically all. Rups, all of the six Goswamis, Nityananda Prabhu stayed here, Advaita Acharya stayed here, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasa Acharya, Shamananda, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would come often to Vrindavan and take his devotees on parikram. Gaurakishore Das Babaji lived here for many, many years. Bhakti Vinod has a house near Radhakund. And our own beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, stayed in Vrindavan many years preparing for his travels to the West. And ultimately he left here in Vrindavan for the spiritual world. So we can understand the significance and importance of how worshipable Sri Vrindavan Dham is. So today we will be traveling to some places in Vrindavan itself first, this morning. Then we will go to at 2 o'clock to Krishna Balaram Mandir for Prasad. And then right after Prasad, with no hesitation, we will board the buses and go to some other places in Vrindavan until tonight. And then we will take Prasad in. Anyways, details we will not discuss all. But every evening when we're in Vrindavan, we'll go to Krishna Balaram temple for the Damodarastakam at 7 o'clock. And about 7:30, quarter to 8, we'll come back to the ashram where we're staying, and we'll take prasad at 8. And everyone should take rest by 9 o'clock latest. Hopefully. Because, I'll warn you, that there'll be no rest during the day, any days. And you have to rise by before 4. We'll be attending Mangal Arati at Krishna Balaram Temple, and then after japa, we'll chant all our 16 rounds during the japa period, and then we'll begin our yatra every day. Tomorrow we'll be going to Mathura. On November 3rd, right after japa at Krishna Balaram Temple, we'll be taking bus to Raval, which is Srimati Radharani's birthplace. Then we'll be going to Gokul, Mahavan, Brahmandagat, Dauji, Lohavan. It's very special because the 3rd is Diwali, and Diwali is the day that the Damodar Lila of Krishna stealing butter took place. So we will be celebrating it at the very spot where Krishna was tied to the grinding mortar and broke the two Arjuna trees. The fourth is Govardhan Puja. So we will be doing the Govardhan Parikrama on the fourth. But there's an austerity. We have to be in the bus no later than 4:30 in the morning. Because if we get, it's going to be very crowded. There'll be tens and thousands of people. And if we start early, if we start the Parikram by 5, it takes about an hour to get there, then it will be very nice. And we'll be coming back here. The fifth is tentative. We may be going to Bandiravan, Belvan, Mansarovar, and Badravan. The sixth is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. So we'll be spending the day in Vrindavan all morning. In early afternoon, we'll be at the celebration of Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi Mandir. And in the afternoon, we'll go to Radha Damodar Temple and some other temples, where hopefully some of the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada will join us. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, and some others. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we'll be going this afternoon actually to the 64 Samadhis of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Radha Govinda Temple, Dira Samir, Bamsivap, Gopeshwar Mahadev, then to Brinda Kunja, which is an ashram of one of my godbrothers. And there, Paramadvaiti Swami, Tripurari Swami, and Narasingha Swami, three very wonderful exalted Vaishnava godbrothers, will be with their disciples, and we'll have kirtan together. That's at 5, and then by 6:30 we'll leave there for Krishna Balaram Temple for Damodarasa. 7th, we're going to Barasana. We'll spend the whole day in Barasana, and then we'll spend the night at Radharas Mandir and Man Mandir with our friends, Rajvasis. And then the next morning we will go to Nandagaon, and we'll spend the whole day, the 8th, in Nandagaon. So many places are there. Nandagaon, Kokilavan, Javat, Udava Kiari, Terakadamba, Paranchahari, Nandabhavan, like that. And then, this is tentative. From Nandagaon, on the 9th, we'll go to Kamvan. Tentative means how you're surviving. But also, Narayan Maharaj may be taking a yatra on that day, so we may join him also. And then the 10th will be in Vrindavan. 10th, devotees can do what they like. They can go to Imlital to chant, or they can go do their shopping in various bazaars, or they could whatever you like. And then 10th evening, I'm leaving on an airplane to Chicago, and you're all taking train to Bombay. In this material world, everything is tentative. But some things are more consciously tentative. Vrindavan Dham ki jai! So where we are now, this is called Dwadash Aditya Teel. The next place we'll be going to from here is Kaliahrad, the place where Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya. After he danced on Kaliya, he was in the water all day long, you know. So he felt very cold. Krishna experiences these feelings just to increase the love of his devotees. Krishna is never hungry, but he becomes hungry just to increase the love of Mother Yashoda to feed him. Krishna is feared by fear personified, but sometimes he appears very afraid just to invoke that Vatsalya Ras of his mother and father, Nanda Yashoda, to give him protection, like that. So in the same way, Krishna was feeling very cold after being in the lake of the Jamuna for all day. So he came to this hill, the same exact place where we are now sitting. Krishna came. And Dwadash Aditya, that means the 12 sons of Aditya, appeared as 12 sun planets. And they all went just above Krishna and turned up their heat to become very hot. And Krishna became very much warm. In fact, he began to perspire. And just below this Dwadash Aditya Thil, there used to be a lake. You can see it from just looking over there. It's not a lake now, but where it was. And that was filled with the perspiration of Lord Sri Krishna. And it is explained, anyone who bathes in that lake will certainly attain love of God. We can bathe through our meditation and seeing the place. And we'll speak the rest a little later. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki
jai!
Sri Radha Gopinath Sri ki
jai!
Sri Vrindavan Dham ki
jai!
Jai Jai Sri Radha! Of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami had several bhajan kutirs throughout Braj Bhumi. It was here that he worshipped the wonderful form of Sri Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan would sometimes take the form of a beautiful cowherd boy. And it is said that because there was no water on this hill, the Lord himself created this well. And it is to this day considered the sweetest water in all of Vrindavan. So everyone can take little water from there. Vishwarup will give to you. And offer obeisances here at the Bhajan Kutir site of Sanatana Goswami. And then in this little temple, we'll tell the story of Madan Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami was the chief minister of the king of Bengal, the Nawab Husain Shah. But upon the instruction of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he relinquished his beautiful palace, his wonderful garments, his beautiful family. And he came here to Vrindavan and lived in a mood of such austerity. Chakvatura namashesha mandalapati shenim sadhatushava. He wore only those cloths, a simple copan, which was discarded garbage of the local people. He would beg and eat just some dry roti or sometimes some fried chickpeas as a beggar. He slept on the ground under various trees every night, but he was always absorbed in the ecstatic mood of the gopis' love for Krishna. Prettiest to Sanatan Goswami, Sri Advaita Charja lived here in Vrindavan. While he was here, he discovered the beautiful deity of Madan Mohan. This deity is from the time of Krishna himself. Just after Krishna left this world, Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranab, he was put by Maharaj Parikshit as the king of Mathura Mandala. And he had Vishwakarma carve various murtis. Some of them even were self-manifesting. And these various murtis were worshipped in various parts of Vrindavan. The three primary murtis were Govinda, Madan Mohan, and Gopinath. But as the millenniums passed, all of these murtis were hidden by time. So Advaita Charya discovered the beautiful deity of Madan Gopal. And under a particular tree, which we'll be visiting in a few minutes, he worshipped Krishna, Madan Gopal. But when he understood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was desiring that he go to Shantipur and to Navadvip to pray for his appearance, Advaita Charya left Vrindavan and gave the murti of Madan Gopal to a particular Brahmin in Mathura, whose name was Purushottam Chaubi. When Sanatana Goswami came to Vrindavan, he would travel from house to house doing Madhukari, and he came to the home of Purushottam Chaubi. And by the arrangement of the Lord explained to this Brahmin that he should give as a donation the deity to Sanatan. Sanatan was thinking, what will I do with a deity? I have no money, I have no home, I have nothing. So he came to this place where we are sitting now, Dwadashaditya Thiyo. Sanatan Goswami considered this place very sacred, just next to the river Jamuna. And here he had Madan Mohan sitting under a tree, and he would worship the deity. Sometimes he would get some dry flour and make some roti and offer it with love. And one day Madan Mohan spoke to Sanatan, "That's so simple. You are feeding me. Can you not even put some salt in the roti?" And Sanatan Goswami, with great love, he said, "My Lord, what I am giving you is the best I have. Kindly accept it." So just at that very time, there was a large boat coming from Delhi on its way to Agra. And the boat got stuck in the Jamuna, just in the bottom of this hill. It happened to be a salt barge. So Madan Mohan took the form of a beautiful little cowherd boy, and he ran down the hill. And he told this man, whose name was Mr. Kapoor, that on the top of this hill is a great saint, Sanatan. By his blessing, perhaps your boat will be freed. So Kapoor came to the top of the hill, and here he saw Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami was worshipping the deity of Madan Mohan, who again appeared like a murti. And he taught Mr. Kapoor that all one's most intimate desires will be fulfilled by simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Madan Mohan. So he reached in his pocket to give some donation, but he had nothing, but he did have a little salt. So he offered it. And because he offered under the direction of a great devotee, the best he had, at that very moment his boat became freed. And he took the boat and he went to Agra and he sold his salt and other wares and he returned to Vrindavan and he surrendered to Sanatan Goswami, whose association transformed his life. And he said, I have all of these riches, please accept it. And Sanatan said that my vow is to sleep under a different tree every night and to beg for my sustenance. But why should Lord Madan Mohan? When Sanatan took the deity, he became known as Madan Mohan. Why should he be subjected to such poverty? Kindly build him a beautiful temple. So the three structures that we see here were built by this Mr. Kapoor. A beautiful, beautiful domed temple where Madan Mohan sits. Kirtan Hall, Prasadam Hall. And this was the original first major temple constructed in Vrindavan Dham, approximately 500 years ago. You see, such great devotees, they are not concerned with themselves, but they are always concerned with offering the best to Krishna. Madan Mohan is worshipped by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as the Sambandha Murti, and Sanatan Goswami is considered to be the Sambandha Guru. Lord Chaitanya taught us that there are three principal teachings in the Vedas. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means to establish our relationship with the Supreme Lord Shamsundar. Now all of our minds and hearts are so much captivated by the material energy, and we are victims of so much kama or lust. And the predominating deity of that is Kamadev, also known as Madana. But Krishna is Madan Mohan. He attracts even the heart of Kamadev, who attracts the hearts of all living beings. So when we put our attention on Krishna, we naturally become freed from the influences of material energy. So to establish our relationship with Krishna, the Lord appeared in this form of Madan Mohan. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they first, when they come to Vrindavan, they come to offer their obeisances to Madan Mohan. And Sanatan Goswami, through his Hari Bhakti Vilas, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he established the ways and means by which we can establish our relationship with Krishna. So which we should pray to Sri Madan Mohanji to kindly attract our hearts, kindly attract our mind and senses away from the material objects which are sources of misery, and attract them only to hearing and chanting his glories and serving his lotus feet and the lotus feet of his devotees. Then the next murti in Vrindavan is Radha Govindaji, the Abhideya murti. Through Govindaji, we engage in the process of devotional service, and Rupa Goswami is the Abhideya guru who has taught us that process. And through becoming completely purified, freed of all anartas, we ultimately come to the stage of bhava and then prema. unmotivated, uninterrupted, pure loving devotion to the Supreme. And that is the stage of Prayojana, where we take the mood of being the servant of the servant of the gopis of Vrindavan and worship with that tender love in utter surrender, abandoning all selfish conceptions. And Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Guru who has taught that principle, and Radha Gopinath is that Murti. So we are so fortunate here. Let us now go out and offer our respectful obeisances to Sri Madan Mohanji by offering this prayer. Jayatam Suratha Pangor
Jayatam Mandana
Mama Manda Matirgati
Mama Manda Matirgati
Sarva Janam Bhoja
Matsarva Swapadam Bhoja
Radha Madana Mohana
Radha Madana Mohana.
I am lame and ill-advised, but by the mercy of Sri Madan Mohan, we can make wonderful progress in the path back home, back to Godhead. Capture my heart, capture my mind, take it away from my take away this propensity for material enjoyment, and let my every thought, my every word, my every action be for your pleasure. Shri Madan Mohan Ji ki
Jai.
Shri Sanatan Goswami Ji ki
Jai.
Jai Govrivan
Ji.
And let us very loudly chant the Maha Mantra. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Sanatana Goswami was the personification of humility. By his life, he established the highest degree of this most essential and worshipful of all virtues of a Vaishnava. Although Sanatana was very learned, he was a master of Sanskrit, Bengali, Persian, Arabic. He was absolutely expert in everything he did, whether it be management, diplomacy, in his work. He was so beloved by everyone. In fact, the Nawab Hussain Shah understood that if he wanted all of the Hindus to be subordinate to him, that he had to get Sanatana Goswami to be his man, because Sanatana was so much loved by all. But yet, although he was endowed with all of these qualities, still, he always considered himself the lowest, the most fallen. He was always in that mood of Mahaprabhu's teachings. Srinarabhi
Suniche na Tarorabhi Sahishnuna Amani Namanade na Kirtaniya Sarapari.
And when Sanatana Goswami was living here in Brajbhumi, he was the most favorite of everyone's heart. He cared so much for everyone. He used to travel all around Vrindavan. Usually he would stay one day in one village, he would spend the night there, and the people would become so attached to his association
that they would just beg him to stay. And as he would leave the next morning, everyone would be at the border of the village weeping tears of love for him as he left. And then he would go to the next village of Braja, and everyone, all of the Vrijabasis of that village, they would just be smiling and singing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names to welcome their most intimate, precious, best friend, Sanatan Goswami. And he would come to the village and he would speak to everyone about everything. He would ask one man, "Have you gotten your daughter married yet? What arrangements have you made?" He would ask another, "How is your health? Last time I was here, you were very sick. Are you better now?" And he would ask another, "How is your crops growing this year? How much did you sell them for?" In this way, even family problems, husbands and wives, when there was quarreling, sons, daughters, and parents, they would all come to Sanatan with whatever problem they had. And whatever he told them, they would accept. Everyone had so much trust for him. He resolved every type of a problem on every level. But at the same time, although so intimately concerned with even the most basic activities of people's lives, by his love and devotion, he was always impregnating in their hearts the highest conception of pure bhakti for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So in this way, all the Vrijabasis, they loved Sanatana. And they would invite him from house to house. And when he would leave in the morning, they would all be weeping and crying, begging him, "Please return soon." He was most dear to everyone. Even the dacoits, they loved Sanatana. Because they saw that he had no motivation but to help them, to serve them, and to give them Krishna. Because he was so genuinely humble, he literally melted the hearts of everyone. So let us offer our obeisances to Srila Sanatana Goswami, and let us pray for his mercy that we can somehow endeavor following his footsteps and becoming genuinely humble servant of the servant of the servant and genuine well-wisher for all living beings. And of course, to become the servant of the servant of the servant of such great devotees is to become the greatest well-wisher for all living beings. Srila Sanatana Goswami Ji Ki Jai!